Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel, and today we're going to be looking at Borderlands 3 and other games.
Oh, that pause gets longer and longer every app, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Borderlands 3, and then you can go and make a cup of tea. Pour yourself some cereal.
Yeah. And other games.
Borderlands 3, I'm presuming it's the third game in the series of the Borderlands.
Seems obvious, but in fact, it's the fourth.
No! Yeah. You tricked me!
Borderlands, they did it again. They released they Borderlands, and they released Borderlands 2, and they released Borderlands pre-sequel.
Yes.
Which is not numbered because it would technically be Borderlands 1.5. And 2.5.
That's complicated.
As it is, a prequel and a sequel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The name
That checks.
Yes.
Hey, I've done the maths. Yeah, they're all right. Borderlands 3 is a mindless shooter, loot-collecting game where you get given missions by annoying characters. Mm-hmm. You then do that mission by shooting everything. You collect the loot. You get better guns.
Yeah.
You can shoot more things better.
I see.
Then you go to do the other mission, which is... usually they're basically the same thing.
Yeah,
in a new
yeah.
area, but a different annoying character.
Uh-huh.
Go kill this guy. And then you're like, okay. And then you kill that guy, and then you get his cool gun.
Yeah.
And then you go back to another person and like, go kill this other guy. And all of a sudden you're level 30 and you've killed heaps of guys and you have heaps of guns.
But is it good?
Wow. I have I played through Borderlands 2 to completion with a friend. Me and her put probably like 70 or 80 hours into it. And co-op is really fun because you have to work together. There's also like a bit of like loot competition because both can't pick up the same gun.
Absolutely.
Can
I think
you give the gun to the
you
person?
Can, or if you want something that they've got, you can challenge them to a duel and whoever wins gets the thing.
Oh, that's
cool. Fun. I always appreciate when a co-op game does not just give you all the same stuff and you can kind of stat yourself differently, but like figure
Customize?
Out different strategies.
Like we were playing nice and it was like, I mostly went for like a sniper.
Yeah.
I usually had a sniper and a shotgun. And she was going for like a assault rifle and pistol sort of thing. So I was like, oh, cool, new sniper. Unless there was a weapon that was significantly better than anything we had, then it was a bit of like, so I guess it's...
Maybe someone's going to...
This is a very, very, very good sniper rifle. Yeah. So it seems like I should get it. But for some reason, you don't seem to like that. Borderlands 2 was really fun to play with people, and I was looking forward to Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
Because I had a good time. And it is the type of game that, whilst... even playing Borderlands 2, I know what the game's doing. It's not trying to
innovate.
Whoa, choked on words. It's not trying to like change the game of the change the face of first person shooters, and the story is just like a post-apocalyptic, silly, comic booky kind of universe. Borderlands 3 really doubles down on the silliness, tries to update it so that the comedy works better in like modern times, because the first one is most like it's just dick yeah, jokes yeah, and yeah. farts. Mm. And they try and lean pretty a funny. Less away from that. But unfortunately, they've attacked like Twitch streamers and stuff like that. Like the villains are like internet celebrities. So it's still a bit like, that would have been good in, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's just.
But positive with Borderlands 3. So is it good? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because like it just takes everything from Borderlands 2 and does it slightly better, looks better, it's nicer now.
Yeah.
But.
Or things you expect from a
sequel.
Sequel, yeah.
Yeah, so look, it does what it should do. Yeah. But Borderlands 3 is also good because this month, a lot of video games have come out, but also a lot of albums that I want to listen to.
Okay.
And Borderlands 3, I can literally not pay any attention to the dialogue, turn the music off, and have the same level of experience if I'm also listening to one of the 100,000 albums I really wanted to listen to.
I guess that's good.
So basically what I'm saying is Borderlands 3 is good if you need to do something else at the same time, well, but also want to keep your fingers busy.
I appreciate... Man, my fingers... I gotta do something with them.
Jackson...
No, you I'm shuffling cards as you speak.
Yeah, look, we 100% understand this. You are speaking directly to our brain.
I like because the thing that I don't like about the Borderlands games is the story and style.
Yeah.
And characters and dialogue. I find it all very...
Really? It sounds like a lot of it.
Yeah, well, everything except the gameplay,
it's,
really.
Yeah, it's weird because the story, it doesn't really matter that much. Like, it is a story where, like, it's just... There's no real twists and turns. Borderlands 2 has a plot twist where a guy that you think is good turns out to be bad.
Whoa.
But I like the art style. It's all cell-shaded. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice.
The villain in 2, at least, like, he doesn't try and be funny. So, like, there's no, like, cringy villain wit.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole game, just the sort of style of it always feels like it's very much designed. You know, like, you know how Garfield was designed to be a popular comic book?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole, Jim Davies was like, I'm going to make something that will make me money.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing that people can jump on. Mm-hmm. That's what Borderlands always feels like to me. They're like, I know exactly the style of humor that the internet masses will eat up like Sunday brunch.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't stand it. But
it's a bit like Elite and Epic.
It's like Epic Mealtime.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Worst description.
Yeah.
I'm off base.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, you got me there with Garfield. You lost me.
Yeah. How can I sound so clever and then so dumb in the same sentence? Sound so clever. Talked myself up there a bit. No. But I like to find out that Borderlands 3, I cannot pay attention to any of the things I hate.
Yeah, and just... I don't know what the story is, and I've put probably like 5 to 10 hours. I don't think it'd be 10 hours. That's an insane amount of time for one game.
Yeah.
I'm like level 8.
So yeah. Okay.
We'll say like 5 hours. And I'm progressing through the story and just doing stuff because the game itself is fun to play.
Yeah.
Like the combat is good. So like killing things is satisfying and it's like a run and gun game. It's none of this like, oh, I need to hide behind a stealthy
thing. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, keep moving or you will die, which I forgot the first time I played it and got killed in the first area that you meet enemies.
That's great.
And I was like, oh no.
Wait,
why
what?
Am I bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I crashed behind cover and then just got shot in the head heaps.
That's great.
It's like, no, this is a couple.
Hold the phone.
So the story is annoying and the villains are no good.
Yeah.
But the character design and stuff like that is like interesting. Like, as in, like, what they're saying isn't interesting. God, no. Mute that dialogue. But like, the way they look and their abilities and stuff like that are cool. It is definitely just more of the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Hey, sometimes that's okay.
Yeah. And look.
Hey, you know what I often make for dinner?
The same.
Pasta.
Exactly.
You know what's great?
Pasta.
Yeah.
Like with Borderlands, I think that if I was playing this at the same time that I was playing Astral Chain. Mm. So like Astral Chain is quite, God, it's so complex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's just so much stuff going on in that game. So like when I felt like playing a video game, but wasn't like, oh no, I need to pay so much attention to the story and I can't be doing anything else at the same time. Otherwise I get confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Like, yeah, sick. Goddamn, Danny Brown's released a new album. I got 45 minutes where I want to listen to that, but I also need to play games for Thumb Cramps. Perfect match made in heaven.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Also, if everyone could just cool it with video games and music for a bit, that would be all right. Like, if we can just all agree, like,
there's a call out for the entire music and video game industry.
November
foot off the pedal.
Yeah, November 2019, if everyone could just not release anything for 1 month.
Just chill.
Movies as well, actually.
Hey,
yeah. 3 weeks.
I'll take two.
Let's have a fortnight off, okay?
Fortnight where no one releases any new media. We'll take 2 weeks off too. Don't worry about podcasts. Yeah. They're also done.
No new media for 2 weeks, just so everyone can take a breather.
Take a breather and be like, all right, what have I not done?
Let me just really quick consume a couple other things, maybe take a day to just relax, read a book. Okay, and then you can start releasing movies again.
Yeah, first day back's
going to be intense.
Yeah. No, because everyone will just have to stagger stuff again, because if everything drops all at once, no one will do anything.
Exactly. That's true. We're going to have to do that whole, like, another 2 weeks, like, you know, 2 weeks later.
Maybe a whole year.
Oh, that would roll.
Because what would happen?
Like, you'd have to catch up on everything, and then you'd hit a point where you'd caught up on everything, and then maybe you'd go outside for once in your life.
Hey, you just stop living your life through the small screen and start living your life through the big, your eyes.
The two smaller screens than your phone, but ones that you grew organically.
Maybe I think I just heard the sound of several boomers reaching orgasm.
So instead of maybe connecting to your friends through your social media, maybe you should stick to the original social media, socializing and
talking with your mouth.
Why don't you talk to each other these days?
Back in my day, we didn't talk with our thumbs. We talked with our mouths.
We had meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
We littered and destroyed the environment, but at least we didn't text.
We created housing crisis after housing crisis. But we didn't know what Twitter was.
Yeah, you know when you couldn't sleep at, you know, 11 p.m. and all your friends were also maybe not sleeping? There was no way of knowing, because if you grabbed the phone, we had cords. It had cords back in our day.
Everything had cords.
It would wake up their mothers and fathers, and then you'd get yelled at because you just want to talk to your good friend.
Everyone underage drank. Everybody drove their car down the main street very fast.
And very drunk.
But no cords.
Yeah, but wireless didn't exist.
Thank goodness.
Except the radio, which we occasionally call the wireless.
You know, and sometimes I still refer to the radio as the wireless. And sometimes I look at the TV and I call it the picture wireless, and that's fine, even though my grandkids mock me for it.
Granddad, no one even called it the picture wireless.
In fact, the television still has wires, Grandpapa.
Please, Grandpappy, shut your mouth for once.
Check my messages. Nan's dying. Call me back.
I don't know how to do it. How do I unlock? It says use my face. How do I use my face?
I don't want to give the government my eyes.
Anyway, help me program this.
How many thumbs?
Let's go 3.5.
Oh, okay, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, because there is definitely, it's fun with big yeah, bots.
A big old asterisk yeah, next to
it's good. You know, like, you know when you go to the movie, when you're going to go to the movies to watch films that you've missed in this year off, and the Dolby Digital thing is the loudest thing in the world?
Yeah.
That's what the sound of my asterisk next to good is for this.
That's
and
fair.
And, like, the weapons and stuff, like, there is a lot to like, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah. If you've got to get through two-thirds of the game's entirety, like, as in everything about the game, to enjoy the one-third of the game that's good, that's a 3.5.
Yeah, thumbs. And I think
maybe less.
If I was playing it co-op again,
oh yeah,
I would probably be having a lot more fun. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that this game thrives on, like, co-op or playing online with friends, because it's far more chaotic. And yeah, you can kind of just be like, who gives a shit about the story? Because couple of pals hanging out, robbing each other.
Good friends, having some fun, drinking some brewskis and shooting some fellas.
And then driving fast down the highway. Oh, we're back in this bit again. We're boomers.
No, we're boomers again. It happened.
Looking at the sun and being like, I'm glad you can't get hotter.
This is cool that this is the highest the ocean will ever be.
I need more volume in my hair, so I'm going to spray a lot of CFCs
out. Oh, I got heaps of extra in my aerosol can. I'm just going to spray it out the window to get rid of it.
Yes, I'll have 150,000 straws with my Pepsi. Thank you.
Yeah. What's that? The cost of a house? Sure, I'll pay that off in 2 years.
Let me just check my wallet. Oh, I've got it already, seems like.
Oh, a house for one-third of my yearly paycheck. Yeah, okay.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah.
It's good being a boomer.
Yeah.
Earth's cooked.
Earth's cooked and my kids hate me.
world's going to end in like 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe that'll be the break in media. The apocalypse.
Hey, Thumb Cramps will keep going till the very end.
We'll review games. Exactly. We'll review our memories of games after the sun has scorched our brains.
We're like the band on the Titanic.
You remember
we'll
in Fallout 3 how you could listen to Mad Dog or whatever on the radio in the apocalypse? That'll be us.
Isn't Mad Dog the villain of Time Crisis 2?
Yeah, I think so. He was 3 Dog. You'll chuck on your little Wasteland radio and we'll be like, Crash Bandicoot was a game.
I'm pretty sure Crash Bandicoot 3 was also a game, can't remember.
Yeah. Was Crash Bandicoot the president?
Mm, I'm not sure, but
we forgot heaps when the world ended.
But I really had all these irradiated bandicoots. They keep crashing into my house.
Crash Bandicoot was from a simpler time where bandicoots weren't the number one threat in the Wasteland. Jackson, how's that door barricade coming? Okay. Do with some help. Stop recording.
The bandicoots. The horror.
Why would you decide to talk about Crash Bandicoot 3? Stop reminding people.
Yeah, anyway, so Crash Bandicoot rode a motorbike in it, I think. definitely had a bazooka that fired apples. They call them Wompa fruit, but I think they're just apples.
Maybe they're
mangoes.
Did he wear pants? That's crazy.
Didn't have nipples.
In the background, I have died. Dragged out a window by a powerful, muscular bandicoot arm. Hey, for the next Thumb Cramps, Jackson might be elsewhere.
Hey, we got a guest this week. It's a screaming bandicoot.
Wow! I look like Crash Bandicoot. Rumor is they were just once people. Anyway.
That seems like a perfect time to hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so I've been playing a game on the Nintendo Switch, surprise.
What?
Yeah, called Frost.
Oh, shit, Borderlands 3. I've been playing it on the PS4. Thank you for reminding me.
Is it on things that are not on the PS4?
Yeah, it's on the Xbox One. Xbox One's the most recent.
Yeah.
I'm a professional gamer. I should know these things.
Does anyone still play the Xbox
One? Not on purpose.
Yeah, no, they're like, oh, damn. I tried to pick up my PlayStation and picked up this horrible controller instead. Yeah, we have Microsoft bias.
So I'm playing Frost on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a card game, kind of similar in vein of like, you know, like a deck builder.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Slay the Spire. I was like, I got none of that because it's too much for me. I'll try something a bit simpler. Frost, it's a card game. You start off with a few things and it's all about surviving a horrible blizzard.
Oh, that's cool.
And the art style.
Put on a jacket. End of game.
It's a survival game, chat.
Yeah, no, I've become intrigued.
And it's cold.
Ah, yeah. Two
Would
things
you say
I love.
That it's long and dark?
The art style is all hand-drawn.
Nice.
So it does look very nice and very neat. You're kind of like, oh, it's very simplistic, but I kind of really dig that kind of art direction. Mm. I think the more and more I'm sort of playing a lot of different games, I really prefer a stylized art style
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like, no, it's like realistic.
Yeah, fair.
So I really, really enjoy when like sort of video games do that. So it's all like very hand-drawn, very hand-drawn. And the idea is to kind of get to the end and survive the blizzard. With cards. And some of them are just like, you know.
How does that go for you?
It bad, because I keep dying to wolves.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about cards.
What? What is the thing about cards?
Go on, finish the gag.
They're not going to do shit to stop you from being eaten by wolves.
You moron. Yeah. Oh! You absolute fool.
That was some of my best work.
So you've got cards and someone like, oh, yeah, you know, you get like a berry or a food or a stick or a fire or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can go and like collect survivors. You can also like then research things like you can research like better harvesting or you can research cannibalism.
Oh, that rules.
Eat the
wake.
Eat the wake.
Yeah. You can, like, I almost said president, but I don't know
eat
why.
Eat the president.
Yeah.
You can acquire like animal companions as well, like you get, if you get that kind of card and they are good to like fend off a predator or to eat.
Yeah,
good. So
are you doing it? Eat everything, Ron?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got it, baby.
And like it's a really like it's intuitive. It's really interesting. It's really nice, and you can kind of like play it once, and it's like cool. Now I've unlocked other things, and so now it's like you're a family.
Yeah.
So you have these special gold, like the gold. And it's like, you know, these cards, you have to make sure that these people survive. And the thing is, like, you can, like, if you go out searching for things, it just, it can be a randomization of, like, who dies, if anyone does. So just randomly, like, oh, no, I lost one of my family members. Dang. So it's a lot of fun like that to be like, am I going to risk it? Am I going to risk it? Yes, Gary died, not my daughter.
I hate Gary.
Can you stack it so that, or is it just always random? Because that sounds like it would frustrate me.
You can, like, sort of stack it in a way.
Like just, you know, in your favor so that Gary is more likely to die than your daughter.
Yeah, like if you have more, say, survivors as opposed to...
Okay.
That. But that's like only one of like little play scenarios, as it were. But it's a very simple game. It's a good way to kind of kill like an hour or so. It's not as kind of like addictive as, say, a Slay the Spire card game. But it's again, a lot of fun. There's not much to it in terms of, like, oh, the complexity.
Yeah.
But there's, like, enough strategy there and enough you can kind of, like, you know, sink your teeth in that you're having a good time and a fun time with
great.
It. So, it's just – I highly recommend grabbing it if you kind of want a quick game with – not a huge amount of backstory. Again, if you don't care about storyline, just keep hammering A.
Yeah,
there is
no
storyline. It's you're escaping from a blizzard, idiots.
Oh, that is good.
And you got to just, like, chill off to the end. There's, like, I think it's, like, 8 stages. And, like, you have to, so each stage you have to get, like, all right, you got to get, say, 3 wood and 4 apples. And you have to collect that. And then you can do that. And you can go to the next stage. And if you spend too long there, the blizzard is approaching.
Ah, that's
but
cool.
If you do it real quickly, you got a next leg up so you can kind of escape the blizzard. I really enjoy it. Really dig this kind of game.
That's good.
A lot of fun.
How many thumbs? Like
4 thumbs and a knuck.
Oh, boy.
Ring a ding ding.
Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. That's the 4 thumbs and a thumb. Knock.
Thumb. 4 thumbs and then like a little thumb growing off it. So.
A small thumb or half a thumb. Known in the industry as a knock.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's not much bad about it. It's a relatively short game. Like it can be a bit challenging and it can be a bit frustrating. Is the only kind of thing where you're like, I got so close and then I kind of. Got penalized, and it because it is just kind of like throws you in. It is not as hand-holdy as a lot of games, which can be what I generally enjoy. But it's like, hey, maybe a little bit of help would have been nice starting off to kind of work out what.
So okay, I know what you mean. Yeah. Indie games do that a lot.
Yeah, which I guess is because they just can't waste resources on giving you that like gradual.
And cutscenes. You just skip them anyway.
Yeah, I don't need them.
Yeah.
A good game will teach me as I play.
And this game does teach you as you play.
There you go.
So I think, Jack, I know you didn't really care for Slay the Spire.
Yeah. Well, no, look, the idea of playing a card game makes me physically ill. But if I was going to play any card game, it sounds like it would be that one.
Yeah. I think you might enjoy it simply because of the kind of like the survival aspect.
Have we changed history though? Didn't you like Slay the Spire, but you were playing it wrong?
No, he hated Slay the Spire.
I hated Slay the Spire. Yeah. Maybe you're thinking of Stardew Valley. Played that wrong. Or, as I like to call it, right.
No, so you played it right, hated it, played it wrong, loved it.
Yeah.
Hit slimes with a bat.
Oh, yeah. Give slimes to everyone in town. Have them be like, why would you do this? We hate you, man at the edge of town who has a dog called Hump.
But yeah, so I mean, really thoroughly into the game. I recommend it.
Great.
It's pretty cheap as well. Don't remember the price off the top of my head, but it wasn't that expensive. So yeah, if you're looking for something to like
kill some time,
if you're trying to like wean off Slay the Spire, because that is a game you can be like, I'm going to keep playing, and it's 4 a.m. Oh no.
Yeah.
This is a nice kind of like, ah, yes, it still scratches an itch, but it's nowhere near as like addictive as Slay the Spire.
Hell yeah.
Swapping out Dory's for vapes.
Yeah. Swapping the witch for the bitch, I think.
Black tar for regular.
Yeah.
Smoking four cigarettes at once to one cigarette at once.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing Ori and the Blind Forest, a game that I think came out on PC. I think it said PSC. A game that came out on PC a while ago, and I was like, oh, I hope that comes to the Switch. And then it did, and I was like, that's good, because I want to play this game, and I won't play it on PC.
So, yeah, it's made by an indie company that is owned by Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
So it only came to Switch due to Microsoft and Nintendo being best friends.
Being pally. It's basically a Metroidvania-style game. Metroidvania.
Just checking.
That's my, I will be whipping myself like that monk in the Da Vinci Code later on. I'll be flagellating my back like crazy. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's encouraged.
Yeah, good. No, I'd have done it anyway.
Exactly. You have to punish yourself for all those sins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
get the devil out.
It's a Metroidvario. I think the reason I really like it is that, because I was thinking about, because I'm playing this and I'm like, how is this different to Blasphemous, a game I didn't like? Mm. Like, what about this is different? And I think what it is and it's clearly what I really appreciate in a Metroidvania, the movement in this is so much more fluid and satisfying. So every upgrade that I find is complicated, but like you can master it, and once you master it, it's really satisfying. So you get like a double jump, but it's a double jump where, because you can hold A for a longer jump, right? Which is pretty basic, but like your double jump will double whatever you just, the length of your previous jump, if that makes sense. So you can't do like a little jump and then a long jump. If you want to cover a massive distance, you've got a long jump, and then your next jump will be the same distance.
So the moment you press the jump button the second time, you lose all control and you just repeat the exact jump you
did. Well, just in terms of length, you can still change angle or whatever, but it's just like, which is kind of fun, because I feel like most double jumps, it'll just be like,
when you press it again, you've got this.
Yeah, exactly, which I like. And then I recently got an ability, which is like, which is something that I've never really seen in a kind of Metroidvario.
A gun.
A straight up Glock. Man, the game's easy now. No, so it's, if an enemy or a projectile comes at you, you press X and you freeze time, and then you can angle yourself and rocket away from it, which is just, it's so weird, but it's so much fun. So like, now there's heaps of puzzles where, so if you like an enemy comes at you, you press X, time freezes, you get a little arrow and you point where you want to rocket yourself. And when you rocket in that direction, the enemy rockets in the opposite direction. So now there's a whole bunch of puzzles, because it's not just enemies, it's also like projectiles. So say there's a laser firing little balls of energy. Now you can direct that ball of energy
into
so much fun.
Into a hole that unlocks a door or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a puzzle just before I came over where you hit it into a portal, so then it comes out a portal above that portal and then smashes a door. So you kind of got to angle it.
And then a cake appears, but the cake is a lie.
Exactly. It is the video game Portal 1.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've also started playing it because, again, it was something that that kind of style of gaming I really liked. And like, I also dabbled with like Blasphemous for like an hour or so. And I kind of had the same kind of feeling you had, which I'm like, I don't know why I don't like this, but I'm not enjoying it as much as say Hollow Knight or any of those kind of games. And when I picked up Ori, I'm like, I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I'm like nowhere near as far as you, but even like the progression tree where it's like, you've got three things or three kind of like those classic, you know, the three trees,
three options.
From.
Yeah.
But they're very simple, very easy, and very like, oh, yeah, cool. Now I know exactly what I'm doing and what I'm going towards.
Yeah, normally
as opposed to Blasphemy, where I'm like, hey, here's a thing to add to your rosary beat.
See, interestingly, I feel like I don't like either. So I think I really liked Hollow Knight because it gave you six slots for badges, which totally changed the way you play.
Yes.
And those badges could interact with each other, and that was super fun. So you could be like, this one that makes me a maggot, but I'll use that with the one that covers me in thorns, and now I'm a maggot that can't be hit by certain attacks, and people that can attack me get... You know what I mean?
I love doing like all the summon ones. So I was just like, I have a party of like 20 weird things following me.
Yeah, I really appreciated that, and everyone felt really different. And what I think I didn't like about Blasphemous is that it would be like, you've got a 10% more chance for someone to, like, you take less damage. And I'm like, that's just not a thing. And that's absolutely just my impatience. But I'm like, that's not a thing I'll notice. And so I'm just not as excited by it. And then Ahri, it's just like, I'm like, it's fine because there's so much else in the game that I can care about. So the fact that the progression tree is every single progression tree where it's like, you'll just get better over time and you get ability points thick and fast. So whatever.
So it's a Metroid Vario in the sense of there is... Because I haven't played it, but I own it. I just
So basically, as you play through the game,
so
you unlock
still a leveling system, and then also abilities.
It is a level. You collect experience orbs, and you can spend that on ability points.
But the abilities are just like, so you have one attack that's like your little spirit boy attack someone, and your ability is like, oh, maybe it'll attack two people at once, or you can hold it down and do a big poof.
Just to clarify, it still has like the item collection from like a Metroid.
Yeah, basically.
So you're like, hey, I got the double jump.
Yeah.
That isn't like an upgrade.
No. You're like,
then also you're like, there's a skill tree where it's like, hey, now your attacks do two attacks.
Yeah. Or now on the map, you can see all of the collectibles or.
Yeah. Or now your double jump does an extra distance. Yeah. Which is what I don't really like because it kind of gave away the things that were coming.
Yeah.
Only because you can access the ability tree from the word go, basically, and you can kind of see, you know, what.
From go to woe.
Okay.
You kind of see what's happening and like where it'll end. So it's like, I know in like four levels I'm going to get a charge flame. And I'm like, well, I guess that's taken the surprise.
Yeah, that is a bit of a bummer.
That is interesting because I guess if you can see the bottom of the skill tree, then you know like what type of items you're getting at the end of the game.
Yeah, very much so. I think what's mostly, because initially I was like, the maps are, you know, every Metroid Vario you start and you're like, oh my God, there's so much like, I'm going to have to backtrack or whatever, but then you kind of get used to exploring the world. Mm-hmm. So I've hit that point now, which I'm really liking, where I'm like, oh, I've got this.
I know where things are.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to this area early on because now I see how, like, I'd hit this section where there was this little rolly guy and he would kill me in one hit, which is one thing that I find slightly annoying is that it's hard to tell damage levels. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but I don't know when spikes will insta-kill me and when they'll just hurt me once. It's baffling.
I don't
know
when, if I go in, like, fall off because I'm bad at platforms and hit the water, I don't know if I'm going to start drowning instantly or if I can kind of, like, save myself and get out and
Sometimes survive. It seems like the water just starts lowering your health, but other times it's like an instant kill and I don't... And same with spikes. I'll land on spikes and I'll lose one. But then if I land on spikes again, I'll lose one, or I'll land on spikes and I'll die in one hit.
Is it, because I've seen video games that do this, does it just instant kill you when it's a situation that you wouldn't be able to get out of, like a pit, like a deep pit?
No, I don't think so. Because the water, many times I've landed in it and I've just lost one or two hearts and being able to swim up and jump back onto a wall.
Yeah.
No.
And other times I'm like, oh, and I'm instantly dead.
Yeah, and same with spikes. Sometimes I'll try to do a long jump over like a spike obstacle and I'll just hit it because I'll mistime the jump and I'll just lose one heart. Yeah. But other
times
I'll hit it.
Pay attention next time to the time you get insta-killed because it could be a situation where the water, like say the spike pit, the walls are so far apart that you can't actually wall jump. So it just
no, because sometimes
kills
it'll
you.
Be like you've just got regular flat ground and then like spike ball on top of it.
And it just kills you straight away.
And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know
what
either.
I suspect
this
is that,
a bad game.
I suspect that it's just like if you get hit by the spikes twice, so you get one free bit of damage.
Yeah.
But if you hit them again, you'll lose it. Just to stop you doing that, like, you know, sometimes in a game where you're like, well, maybe again, this is just my impatience, but I know I did it in Hollow Knight heaps. I'm like, I'm just going to run through the spikes and tank the damage.
Yeah.
And then I'll heal on the other side or whatever. I really love the movement. That's a blast. Every time Ahri does his weird jumps, her weird jumps, I think, and like flips and stuff, it's always really satisfying. I liked at the beginning that I got to be the big fat Bigfoot guy.
Oh, I love the big fat. It was so sad.
Yeah, he just did like a big lopey walk.
The art style is really sweet.
I was like, I hope I get to play this guy for the whole game.
Oh, I was hoping too.
Because when I first saw any ads for Ahri in the Blind Forest, I was like, do I play the fat ape man? No.
But a bit.
But for a brief moment at the beginning.
Maybe at the end. We don't know
yet. I've not finished the game, so time will tell.
Were you disappointed when the character changed?
Yeah. Well, I knew it was coming. I was like, oh, I play this little fairy gal.
See,
that's a bummer.
I didn't know it was coming, and I was disappointed.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, because this big ape man, he's like, oh, he's doing good. He's protecting Ahri and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what's he got? Oh, he did.
Rest in peace.
It was like, within like 2 minutes of the game starting, I'm like, I'm sad now because my ape friend is dead. Yeah.
I know, the moment I started playing it and your ape pal, spoilers, but your ape pal dies at the beginning of the game, I was like, this is a game for Zam. It's got beautiful music as well. Yeah. Love the music. One thing that took a while to get used to but is really cool is that you have to manually, so you have like mana basically, mm-hmm. and you have to use that mana up to save. So you have to specifically, you hold down A or whatever, and you create like a save spot. Point.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a bit of resource managing because also you use that mana to do like a big attack or to open doors or whatever.
Yep.
So there's a bit of being like, oh, is this part going to be complicated? I got to save. Because otherwise, in the amount of, before I kind of got used to it, the amount of times I would die and rock it back to way before.
Yeah. 3 days earlier.
Yeah, and be like, that's right.
Yeah, I did a lot before.
Yeah. It's one of those games where you kind of have to pay attention to when it says game saving, because it's like sometimes does after boss battles or whatever. But yeah, once you get used to it, I don't know, I almost started to enjoy that there was a bit of resource management with your where you're saving and what you're kind of thinking is there.
When you stuff up and die and you lose a lot of progress, you literally only can blame yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like,
I'm dumb.
Should have saved. Something else I'm quite liking is that I'm finding new, you know how you get like orbs of health?
Yeah.
I'm finding them everywhere. It's really satisfying. It's satisfying to be like, this secret has rewarded me in a way that is worthwhile. Whereas with Blasphemous, often secrets would reward me with lore. Hey, no. Bad game. I don't care about lore. I care about winning. I'm really enjoying it. I'd probably give it 5 thumbs, to be honest. I know that a sequel is either coming out or is out for the PC.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully that will coming. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
So hopefully when that comes out, it'll eventually come to the Switch
Spoilers, we won at the end, baby.
Hell yeah. We saved the Great Deku Tree or whatever the plot is.
Not necessarily, because Zelda has sequels set after you fail.
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe
spoilers, we
downfall
lost.
Timeline for Ori.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
But
Link's
I'm really
dead, baby. Link's dead.
He's a Stalfos now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and Twilight Princess. Anyway, I'm going to give it 5 thumbs. I really enjoyed it. I'm having a blast with it. It made me stop playing Link's Awakening to get in on this. So I'm kind of like, playing both of them at the same time. So yeah, no, really good game.
Yeah,
10 out of 10.
Where's Turok fitting into the equation?
Basically,
give a game 10 out of 10?
Yeah, 10 anyway. Out of 10. Thumbs. 10%. 10%, baby.
But 5% is the biggest score you can get.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving it 2 of the biggest scores possible, i.e. 10. No, my current gaming is play Ori until I get frustrated with a puzzle, go to Link's Awakening until I get frustrated with a puzzle, play Turok, love life.
Are you still in that cave?
Yes! it's been so annoying! So every level of Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, gives you the things you got to do in the level at the beginning. This one's like, I don't know, it's like fight the destroy the 5, maybe weapons caches, I forget. And I still haven't. I don't know where they are. I'm like so far into the game and I'll like look at my list of objectives and I'll be like, okay, please tell me that they're not miles back there and I missed them. That would kill me, Turok 2 Seeds of Evil.
Hey, I got some news from Turok 2 Seeds of Evil. You missed.
Oh, man, that would upset me so much. But I recently got a harpoon gun and that was pretty sick.
Yeah, have you got the gun where it makes people's heads explode?
No, but I've got, because this one's caves and you get there's like a gun where the bullets bounce off walls.
Oh no.
So satisfying. You just walk into the cave and shoot once, and everyone in the cave is like,
I'm a dinosaur, but now I'm dead.
And there's heaps of big spiders. That's great. And little spiders. I've also hit the point where all I use is the blade because I can aim at the head easier and insta kill everyone. It rolls.
Out of those 3 games you just mentioned,
yeah.
If I was, I don't know, a video game buyer,
yeah.
Which I buy video games.
Yeah.
But if I'm listening to this podcast,
video game buyer.
Yeah. I'm a professional shopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shopaholic.
Yeah.
Video game e-shopaholic.
E-shopaholic, ooh. Yeah.
If I had to buy one of the 3 games you just
I was going to recommend one of the 3 games that I just discussed then, mm-hmm. for you to play and get the maximum amount of enjoyment out of, I would recommend 1995's classic Turok 2 Seeds of Evil, the sequel to the incredibly successful Turok and the prequel to the incredibly successful Turok 3 Something of Oblivion. So everybody go to grab your Switch now. Download Turok 2 Seeds of Evil for me.
Game that was released in the 2000, probably year 2000.
Yeah, who can tell?
Definitely wasn't 95.
Maybe Turok was.
Just no. Wasn't.
Can I give it another 5 thumbs?
Yes.
Okay. Giving it a brand new additional 5 thumbs.
Going to give it a percent as well, or a 10 well, that's, out of 10?
Well, 5% is the highest score you can give.
Yeah, thumbs are percentage. I forgot from last week.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, so all in all, I think that today's thumb score has been a hot, I want to say, 28%?
Yeah,
28%. The highest you can get, maybe.
Highest possible score.
Per episode of Thumbcraft.
HPC. And on that note, I've been Jackson.
I've been Joel.
And sorry, what was that, Jackson?
Who have you been, Dusha?
Sorry, what? HPC, highest possible score?
Who have you been?
How do you spell score with a C?
Yeah.
And here's been Dusha. Happy thumbing.
Highest possible core.
And I've been Dusha.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.